Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer and comedian Emily Winter. And sorry this is coming out late. I'm putting it out. I'm supposed to be at yoga now. Didn't make it. My friend Alice, who listens to this podcast, said you should make a to-do list and then just try to do half of the things you expected to do. And I think that is the correct way to live. Anyway, sorry. Also, I'm just going to tell you this one thing that happened to me. I'm just having a week, you know? Yesterday, I was walking. I recently adopted this dog with my husband, and the dog is Pickles. And Pickles and I were walking, and she pooped, and I put my hand down to get the poop, but I didn't realize there was a hole in the plastic bag. And also, this was day one of me ever wearing fake nails in my entire life. I wanted to try them out for my sister's wedding to see if I could even handle them, since I have short little sausage fingers and also play a lot of sports. Anyway, so my fingers went through the hole, and then they were in the poop, and then there was poop all over my new cute fingernails, and I was so sad, and I was like, oh no. And I was trying to wipe it on the grass. And then I was walking home with Pickles. And she got distracted by something. And I was distracted by my own poop nails. And she went to go explore whatever it was. And then I smelled something and realized it was human poop that she was rolling in. So then she was covered in human shit. And I was covered in her shit. And I walked her home. And put her in the tub. And anyway, that's just kind of how it's going already this week. So I hope you're having a better week than me. Oh, I do want to say, I know that my young nephews listen to this podcast, and I typically love that you do. But this one may not be good. If you are a kid, you know, this might be not be a great one. Simply because, if you're a parent listening, we do swear on this podcast, and I think a lot of kids hear swears. They watch Ted Lasso. Okay, so it's just there's a ghost that is a little gross with the women, and we say the R word, the other one, the shorter R word, we say that several times. So if this one's one you want to skip, totally get it. Otherwise, I love this podcast episode, and I even love the inclusion of that crazy ghost, because that's a thing. Anyway, this is a story that I never knew of a friend of mine, and I hope that you very much enjoy it. Okay, I'm talking so much. Okay, bye!
Today on the podcast, I am super excited to have actor and musician Jacob Grun. Jacob, hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you for doing the pod. I've also, you're a person that I've known for many years, so this is very cool.
I was trying to figure it out. How many years do you think?
I can't remember the first time. We definitely partied at Matt's place in Brooklyn Heights, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it must have been like 2008 or 9 yeah. that we met, so like 14.
That's a long time
15
ago.
15 years.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Okay, well, that's the first scary thing.
You looked
thing.
Exactly the same, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Yeah. So do you. We don't age. Just weirdly, people start looking younger than us. I don't know how that happens. So you also used to live in Minneapolis.
That's correct.
And you owned a venue and recording studio?
It was a recording studio business. And because we had a 5,000 square foot warehouse, sometimes we would do events. We'll
not sanctioned, like not legal events.
Yeah, like donation only.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, donation. The way you get around. I'm so sorry that you can probably still hear Pickles breathing. So
actually, you can't.
You don't think? Okay. Mm-mm. Listeners, if you hear any sniffs or snorts, we got this a new dog. Well, she's an old dog, but she's new to us, and she is a pit bulldog mix, and we named her Pickles, and she is very sweet and lazy and great. Anyway,
at first, when you asked me if you could bring Pickles today, I literally thought a jar of food.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I put it together pretty quick, but at first I was like, okay, interesting.
So talk about what was your recording studio called?
It was called the Sound Gallery, and yes. It was in downtown Minneapolis, in what they call the Warehouse District or North Loop. It was a building. It was built in 1926. It's right where they built the new Twin Stadium and Target Center's right there.
And does the building still exist?
Yep, it's still there. Somebody else bought it. It's okay, Pickles.
Okay. So this sound gallery was haunted.
Yes, the whole building was. So I was in the building. I had the recording studio business for 10 years, from 2005 to 2015.
Okay.
But for a couple of years before that, I was in the basement of the building. They had built some rehearsal spaces, so our bands were practicing down there. And the building was mostly empty, but the tenants before were like a production company, mm-hmm. and they had built all these like dark rooms and decorated it super weird. So it was like very
spooky.
Eerie. Yeah. You know, you go into these like liminal spaces where there's just like a tray, you know, that you for developing photos or whatever. As you
or pulling bodies apart.
Right. Which it definitely had that vibe. Although I don't think I think people may have died there. I mean, I don't think any murder happened there, but I guess who knows?
Right. I mean, maybe somebody finds out. I'm very excited to hear what happens.
I mean, I tried to look up a little bit more history about the building, and I've done this a few times over the years, and it's really hard to find much. I do know that it burned down twice.
Okay, since 27 or before that?
Since 1926, okay. Like since it's built, or the inside, not the outside is like concrete, but the inside used to be wooden floors.
Okay.
And they didn't have a fire escape.
Oh, yep, that's bad.
So I feel like a couple times, like one time, the record said like in the 40s and then again in the 60s, and then that's when they probably put in the fire escape and then made all the walls or all the floors concrete and stuff.
Yeah.
So it couldn't burn.
Right. They finally learned their lesson. So what did you experience at the sound gallery?
So one of the more common occurrences that I shared with many people was, so our recording studio was kind of split up into two areas. The recording studio, which was about 2/3 of it, and then 1/3 of it was this lounge area that had a bar that was built there.
That's
and
awesome.
There was also like a split level loft area that you could go to, which was my bedroom when I lived there. I didn't live there for the full 10 years, but sometimes I did. So there was like these wooden steps to go up to the loft, just sort of homemade situation, 2x4s and planks. And you couldn't see down because there was like a half wall that kind of covered where the bed was. And that's where people would crash. Like if people would come crash after a party, sometimes like 3 or 5 of us would end up sleeping up there.
Yeah.
And there was a very specific sound of like somebody walking up those stairs because it was like wooden and they creaked a certain way. You know, if somebody went down to go to the bathroom, you could hear them coming back up. And there are so many times where, I mean, I remember, I think the first time there was like 3 or 4 of us up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like 5 a.m., party's over, everybody's long gone, and we're trying to fall asleep and we don't think anybody else is there. And all of a sudden we hear somebody walking up those steps. And, you know, people think they're kind of imagining it, but somebody I'm with looks at me and says, "Did you hear that?" And we're all like, "Yeah, I heard that." So my reflex always when this happened, because it happened more than once, was to sort of help reassure people. And also myself, I would kind of bust down and charge on the steps, be like, "Who's here?" Sometimes people did after events try to like stay in the building. You know, we'd find them the next morning on some abandoned floor and be like, "Guys,
you
go
gotta
home.
Go. Yeah.
What are you doing here? Like, I have to sweep this now."
It's very like Breaking Bad, like, you know, Jesse sort of the 7-day party or whatever that no one will leave. Yeah,
no one would leave. So, you know, sometimes you're like, "Oh, is there somebody here still wandering around?" But it never was. And that was an instance that, so this time it was like with a few friends, but if I was like dating somebody and over the course of 10 years, there was a couple girlfriends, we'll say, that stayed up there with me,
mm-hmm.
and we had this experience together. For me, I'm used to this. For them, they're terrified. They're like, "I'm not spending the night here anymore."
Leave?
No, you know, we'd, cause it's 5 a.m. and whatever, like. This was probably before Uber, really, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that easy just to, like, go. Plus, it's winter there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we, you know, we...
You get through that night, and then next time you're at her place.
Right, exactly, exactly. And then with the girlfriends, so that was one version of the haunting. Then girlfriends refused to stay there, like, 100% because there was what we called the rape ghost.
Okay. Okay. That's... terrifying. Say more.
So underneath the loft space was like our office, I guess. And so that was its own room where you could shut the door. And our business partner, my business partner, that was his bedroom. You know, we kind of were like the Lost Boys sleeping on top of each other. In the loft, and then he was in the office below. But then, you know, depending on who needed to crash there, sometimes we would crash in the office for some more privacy because the loft upstairs was open. Mm-hmm. You know, you could shut the door to the office. And we would just throw, I think we would just throw cushions on the floor at some point. I mean, we did have a pull-out couch in there later, but I think at this time we were just sleeping on the floor for some reason.
Dude, I'm sure that when I was younger, I would have totally partied there and passed out wherever. But, like, you telling me this now, I feel itchy everywhere.
Yeah, I understand that. What I've dealt with and put up with in my 20s for my rock and roll lifestyle is something that, I don't understand how I would last like about a day and I'd be like, I need to leave.
Right.
This is horrifying.
I need like a bath.
Right.
So
we're sleeping on the cold concrete floor. No, I don't know. Maybe we had a bed mattress in there. And the next morning, and this woman who I was dating at the time, she had heard the steps ghost already. And, you know, she was kind of okay with it because the ghosts weren't mean to us or anything. So we're sleeping the next morning. We're talking. She's like, you know, I woke up in the middle of the night to, you know, you spooning me and kind of like pressuring me from the back. I thought you were, you know, trying to have sex with me or whatever. Until I realized that you weren't behind me. I woke up and I was facing you.
So scary. This is so scary. I've heard of horny ghosts before, but I'm not sure I've ever had one on the podcast. Like this podcast.
Yeah, I looked it up later in life too, or I had heard other stories. It is a thing.
It's a thing. Ghosts are so hard. Okay, this is related. I've been listening to this like really woo-woo book, and you know, like this woman who wrote this best-selling book, it's called You're Not Dying, You're Just Waking Up. It's like super woo-woo. There's all these different aliens, whatever, but apparently all the sort of aliens in the universe that are looking at watching us are really jealous that we get to have sex.
See, I always thought that they're really jealous and we're the only ones that make music. So they're coming down to groove to that.
That could be true, too. But
it's both things.
It could be both
they're
things.
They kind of go hand in hand.
There's different kinds of, and I don't even know, these aliens sort of are timeless, created the universe, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, there are certain types of aliens that are particularly jealous of sex. Yeah. So that's it. But
some are coming for the music. Some are coming for the sex.
Oh my gosh. So you kind of had the worst of both worlds in a music studio with a girlfriend.
Yeah. And it happened to, so my business partner was engaged at the time, ended up marrying this woman. And like a week or two later, they crashed in the literal exact same place that we did. And
probably
I was hanging out with her.
The sheets.
Well, I think that every time we slept wherever we were, there had to be new sheets. And we did have a washer and dryer there.
That's great. This is pretty, that's pretty clean for 20-somethings. Yeah.
Yeah, we were, you know, we were being nice to our lady friends, too. We didn't want to.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I know.
So, my business partner's fiance, like, talking to her 2 weeks later after she spent the night there, and she's like, Jacob, I had the craziest experience in the office. And her story is literally identical to my girlfriend's. And, you know, they were friends, but they hadn't related this, to each other. Needless to say, neither of them would really spend the night there. And I understand that. Like, I'm like, rape ghost, and I kind of laugh it off, but actually it's probably violating and not very comfortable.
Oh, it's terrifying. What were their reactions? Were they scared? Were they, like, just terrified? Were they, I mean, did they get mad? Did they, like, what, did they not sleep there?
Yeah, I don't think, you know, because they couldn't hold it against us or anything. I just think they refused to sleep there in the future.
Yeah. I don't think I'd be able to fall back asleep.
Right.
If I felt a ghost hard on.
And I doubt that they were able to either.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my gosh. So what happened? So those are the last two women that experienced that there.
Yes, and as far as I know, those were the only two women who had that ghost experience. The thing coming up the loft, that, you know, must have been experienced by 10 or so people.
Different so times. How much longer, okay, knowing that you have a ghost who is horny is unsettling. How much longer did you stay at this place as a proprietor of this place after that?
I mean, that was in 7 more years.
Oh my goodness.
You know, that was kind of in the beginning. And the experiences got more intense. Like, the rape ghost is pretty crazy, but, like, actually, like, seeing things.
Wait, there's more than yeah. than the rape ghost? And I don't say rape lately. Also, I have a thing, yes, where I sometimes really don't like
it's not a
when
great
people
word.
Say, well, no, it's, I don't like when people say sexual assault when they, I mean, this is where I totally off topic from ghosts, but I don't like when people say sexual assault when they mean rape, because it, like, softens the word to a degree that is, like, palatable for, I don't know, men who would feel uncomfortable or anyway, it just kind of bothers me. So when we say rape ghost, I'm like, it is a little funny, but we're also, I feel like it is the appropriate word. Anyway, just feel like I should say that. So, okay, what Thank happens you. After this?
So, around the time of this previous ghost that we were just talking about, and I can't remember if I had this experience before or after. Actually, I think it was after. Because at this time, it was pretty established that the place was haunted in our minds. And I think that we even had some, like, minor experiences before I moved up into the studio, you know, when I was just in the basement. But those are kind of, you know, written over by these other experiences.
Yeah.
So in our studio part, we had a control room where we had a large mixing console and a tape machine and a bunch of studio outboard gear, you know, and that was kind of like it was the control room. And it was one of the only rooms that we had AC running because the equipment would get very hot and we needed to regulate the temperature there or it would fry. And in the summers, sometimes some parts of the studio, like in my loft, it would get very hot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go and there was a couch in the control room and I would crash in there, you know, if it was a hot afternoon and I hadn't slept the night before because of rock and roll or whatever. So I'm having a dream. I'm laying on the couch in the control room. You know, it's been a sweaty afternoon. And in my dream, I'm having a conversation with somebody. I can't remember who that person is, but it was something like what we're doing right now. You know, the person was pretty close to me. Our conversation is mundane. And in the dream, all of a sudden, the person's kind of attitude shifts. And they look at me and they pause and they say, "You know, the ghost is in the room with you right now."
Oh, God, no, 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 no. That would really, really, really scare
me. I was like, what? And right when the person in the dream says this, I wake up and I'm in a sleep paralysis, which I guess it has happened to me before, but not, I've never had an experience quite like this. So I'm in sleep paralysis on the couch and I'm looking up and we have a drop ceiling that had like some sound treatment stuff that was just like hanging from some chains. So above this drop ceiling, there's kind of like maybe 5-6 feet of space and you could see up to the real ceiling because there are gaps in the drop ceiling. It was just like 6 panels kind of hung down.
Mm-hmm.
And in my sleep paralysis, I look up and I see this like white swirling thing up there, you know, that in my mind right then I'm like, that's the ghost in the room with me, like that's what it looked like or whatever. And I was just like,
and you can't do anything when you're
I screamed myself out of the sleep paralysis.
Oh my God,
that was the scary one, because I was in the sleep paralysis and it like invaded my dream space somehow. And again, like, I don't know, was this a dream, was it a real
what
experience?
Do you think that white stuff was?
I think it was the ghost in the room with me. I mean, it's just, what else, you know?
Yeah.
Or one of the ghosts. I feel like there are maybe multiple things, kind of entities running around the place. Just because, you know, this swirling guy and the rape ghost and the loft stairs. They, you know, they just have different
vibes,
I guess.
Yeah. When the swirling ghost happens, I would be so freaked out. First of all, sleep paralysis in itself is terrifying. I call it the bad wake-ups. But then to see the swirling ghosty thing, what did you do? You were alone, I assume. So.
I was alone, but people were coming shortly after who sort of had some history with the studio and the haunting. So yeah, I talked pretty openly about it, which actually over time was a mistake because I'd be too open about it. And there were some There was one client I had who was like a pretty big name producer engineer, and I was so stoked that he was coming to work at the studio, and we had been getting along great over the last months, just hanging out and whatever. And he brought his band in from like way far out of town, and they're all planning on staying at the studio, you know, plans would sleep there. And I made the mistake of telling him it was haunted, and he, you know, people have a deep-seated fear of this stuff. Yeah. And then, of course, like, they stay there and they just hear creaking and noises all night. And
like anything, it just sounds to them now like a ghost.
Right. And that was the last time he worked there. And then it even kind of changed our relationship. Like, we weren't as close afterwards. I'm like, oh, why did I shouldn't have ran my big mouth. And I didn't really think about, because I'm kind of whatever about it.
Yeah.
And go with the flow about it. But I should be understanding that. It's not everybody's cup of tea, you know? I'm like, more experiences. I want to talk to you, ghosts, you know?
I would be really, really scared to work or sleep in a haunted place. But I would do it, but it would be the first thing on my mind at all times. It might be hard to concentrate.
Yeah. And I didn't respect that.
It's. Everybody's on the spectrum. It's a huge spectrum of where they land with the ghost stuff. So, okay, right. So this thing happens.
Yes.
And then you're like...
So to continue on, I guess, with more ghost stories, and of course, I would always tell my business partners, you know, there's even what I'm telling now is my personal experience. I can only remember like a couple things happening specifically to other people, but I know that they were common because I'd just be like, oh, yeah, that's just our ghosts, you know? Mm-hmm. My business partner one time was in the control room where I had that dream or whatever. And he was at the studio by himself. And he saw someone walk past the control room door. And then we have our live room, which is the big chunk of the studio. And at the very end of the live room, we have this big walk-in closet. And so he sees me walk by the control room door. And he's like, oh, hey, Jacob. And I didn't respond. And so he walks out of the control room and he sees me walk down the studio and hook a left into the closet. He follows me down. He opens the closet and there's no one there. It's not me.
It's a ghost tried to look like you?
So here's what I think. My theory was that because I many times wore like jeans and kind of like a snap blue kind of shirt.
Like button up?
Yeah, exactly. They look like a factory worker, really. Mm-hmm. Or like like a custodian's outfit almost. Okay. You know, like Dickies and, you know, something like that. So I could imagine like a worker looking like me. I have very average build and height, you know. So, yeah. And my other theory about that was like maybe it's me like transporting back from the future somehow, you know, physically to like.
Yeah, it could be like your own energy. Like when they say that ghosts are just energy on loops or whatever, it's a loop of you.
Right.
That's possible. Could be ghosts trying to look like you.
Right, like capturing my energy. Or it could be one of those people that I theoretically burned in there, you know.
Oh, yeah, that had just a similar outfit and build. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. But yeah. I forgot to ask you what you think sleep paralysis is.
I don't. Well, so they kind of have done some studies about it, right, where your body sort of shuts down. And while it's having these mental images like dreams and you're running, you don't actually start to run. Like if you're running in your dream, your body's reaction would be to get up and go. And that's how you're able to like have these feelings while you're dreaming, even though your body's just not.
So it's like it stays in that state too long.
Yeah. Or I think about it a lot because I have had out of body experiences on and off since I was a teenager. I've tried to control them in ways, and maybe I haven't really tried to understand exactly what's going on. I've just tried to.
What do you mean out of body experiences?
Like I will wake up and be in sleep paralysis and I will be able to levitate out of my body and kind of hang out there, but then I can't break beyond that.
Do you see yourself?
Sometimes, or I see other entities in the room.
Like, what do you see?
I'll see like these beings that are sort of disembodied. Body in a sense, like maybe they're missing a limb or something. Like they're almost like 1 foot out the door in a different dimension or something like that.
Oh my God, what do you think that
means? I've seen aliens.
Are you a little psychic?
It runs in my family a little bit, and my mom has some of this stuff, so we've talked about it a little bit before.
What does your mom see? Does she see like ghosts and stuff?
My mom has, she doesn't talk about it too much, but she believes that she's like, you know, predicted the future a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I like roll my eyes at it, but then I'm like, well, I started having these experiences. And then she's always told me, she's like, of all the kids, she's like, you're the one who got it too. Yeah. No. And I'm like, how do you know this? But then we've had a couple experiences where, you know, she like found me somewhere in the middle of the woods. She had no idea where I was, you know, kind of stuff like that.
And she's like, I just listened to my intuition and yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of scary like that. Apparently one of our great grandmothers, my parents are from the Czech Republic, and in Central Europe there's a big gypsy population. Apparently one of my great grandmothers is like a gypsy or something like that.
And very psychic, and yeah. Ugh,
I don't know. But yeah, the out-of-body experience thing, like I just get too terrified to take like the next step. Like I'll be like in this lingering middle crowd, mm-hmm. middle ground, and I want to like completely break free of it and like shoot out into space, which I've done accidentally a couple times. But when I really try
like
to do
on
it.
On mushrooms or something?
No.
Or on acid?
No.
Okay. Wow. Dang. When I have sleep paralysis, I find it like absolutely terrifying and I feel the opposite of how you feel. Like, I feel pushed down. Yeah. So that's amazing. What happens when you shoot off into space?
I'm able to kind of travel celestially, but it's like, I don't really know. It just feels like I'm sort of free falling through space. And I have my choice of like where I can end up, but I just like can't control it. So it sort of just starts to feel, that's kind of what's terrifying about it, because you do start to, what happens is you start to feel this free fall mm-hmm. in the dream, and that's terrifying. But you know you're not, you have to like accept that it's not your body, you're not in it, and you're not going to like hit
crash.
A ground. Exactly.
Yeah.
But the feeling is terrifying, and yeah.
So as a person who is obviously very interested in this, but has no psychic abilities or connection really to, I don't know, invisible things. Like I don't have the powers. When I meet somebody that does, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Have you ever considered trying to like meet up with somebody to figure out how to take the next steps, like you know, like classes or just seeing a psychic that's reputable and saying, I think I have something, what would you recommend I do? You know, is this like,
I've looked up a little bit like on YouTube and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and the thing is that it's not uncommon. There's a lot of people who have these kind of experiences.
Yeah.
I never thought about doing that, like trying to seek like help or a mentor, because it's usually, it's always me helping other people who've had that experience and be like, no, it's cool, you're not alone, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I should, because I am curious to develop that further. And yeah, I think I'll look into that. I could use some help.
I mean, I guess like the benefit to being a human is that we are the only beings that get to experience humanity. So it's like, you don't want to completely leave your body all the time. But on the other hand, how can you not? Like, I'm just so curious about what's happening out there. You know,
yeah.
It's just, if you have a doorway in your brain for this, I would like totally go through it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not trying to stop it, that's for sure, but I read about some people, and I don't know if they're lying either, because a lot of people, it seems like, okay, really? Like, you have this power, and you can just out-of-body experience anywhere you want, mm-hmm. and you go see stuff that you want. I'm like, I don't know, guy, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, then I'm the one who's having kind of similar experiences, so to doubt somebody is kind of whack, I don't know.
It's hard because even though a lot of people describe their experiences in similar ways, it's one of those things that is hard for a lot of people to believe unless you see it. I'm more on the side of I believe people, but every once in a while, you know, I interview somebody for this podcast and I just don't put the episode out because I don't believe them.
Mm.
So, you know, sure, there's liars out there, and I'm not the most gullible person in the world, but I'm definitely on the side of believing. But yeah, it's anyway. It's interesting. So back to the sound gallery. So your business partner sees a ghost of maybe you go into the closet, then disappear.
That then disappear. He was obviously freaked out by this. And then the probably the most kind of intense physical experience I had, and this was kind of towards, it was towards the end of me being there. So it was around 2013, last couple of years. And in our front lounge area, at the bar, we had maybe six or seven bar stools, and they had backs on them, and they also swiveled. They mm-hmm. were from this place called the Uptown Bar in Minneapolis. And if I had all the windows open there, like, and the fire escape door, there would be kind of a breeze that would go through there mm-hmm. or whatever. So one time I was sitting on the couch in the lounge, I don't know what I was doing, on my phone, staring out the window. And I felt like a breeze go through the studio, but it wasn't like the normal breeze. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, that felt kind of weird. So I look up and then I see all of a sudden, as sort of the breeze blows by me, two or three of the bar stools just swivel.
Ooh.
As if somebody has pushed them. Not like, and wind would be not strong enough.
Not strong enough.
Unless it was like crazy, and then it would just knock over the thing.
Right. I've swiveled a lot of bar stools. I know it takes some effort. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, you can tell what, I've seen these bar stools swivel a lot. Everybody does it when they're standing there. It's just out of habit or nervousness or whatever. So it's a thing, and I'm like, I see these things swivel, and they go from left to right. So it's like the first one goes line. Second. Yeah.
Ooh, fun. I love that.
And then at the end of the bar is a stationary tub, like a sink, mm-hmm. a big metal sink. And so the three stools go, and then the sink just turns on, and it turns on a lot. And I'm like, and that's when I say, I look in the air and I say, are you fucking kidding me right now? I just couldn't believe it because I knew what it was. I walked over to the sink slowly and I turned it off, which, you know, I was hoping that the handle wouldn't move, that it's just somehow, you know, on the inside had whatever, there's like some safety in there or something. But no, like I had to physically turn the handle all the way back and I just took a breath and I was like, man, like that was the most intense experience, because the other stuff was like I'd seen it in my dream or you hear auditory stuff, but to see the or an entity physically move things was another level, I guess.
So scary. That is awesome. But still, it's kind of like, aside from the rape ghost, these ghosts were like more playful maybe, but still I'd be terrified.
Yeah. And I honestly wonder, so these new owners came and took over the building. I didn't own the building. I leased my floor, and then the owners decided to sell. They were kind of slumlords. And these people, new owners, wanted to turn my recording studio into their luxury apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they were actually parents of friends. Like, I knew them, and I had shown them around the studio for their first time. I thought, I was like, oh, I'm going to get great new owners.
Yeah.
And then they
were like, bye. Yeah, totally. I was going to ask you how it, yeah.
And so I always felt like I had kind of a spiritual hold on the place. Mm-hmm. Like nobody could break through my energy to take it from me. Like from the moment that I took over the spot, everybody was like, it's not going to last. They're going to build a stadium right there. They're going to kick you out. They're mm-hmm. going to knock these buildings out. I'm like, nope, nope, nope. I'm going to make it happen. And then a year before I got the boot, I and my girlfriend, we traveled to LA and we kind of decided to stay here. And so my staff was running the studio for some months.
Oh my God.
And my energy aura wasn't protecting it anymore. And that's when they swooped it out from underneath me.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's really fascinating.
Yeah, I was actually working as an extra on an AT&T commercial when I got the news from my studio manager there. He's like, we just got an eviction notice on our door. We have 30 days.
Oh God.
And I was like, sorry. Oh, I was like, I've been there.
That's how they did it. I feel like if it's parents of friends, they should have given you a call.
They wouldn't respond to any of my phone calls. So it was my building owners that gave us the eviction, not the new ones. I hadn't taken over yet. But I was like trying to buy like another month. I was also 1 month shy of 10 years exactly.
Oh, you wanted that.
Yeah. So I was like, I am not going to be able to clear this space out in, I'm in 30. LA right now. Even if I come back tomorrow, which I did, I'm not going to be able to have time to clear it out. Which I didn't. I mean, I left it in a complete shambles state where, and I threw a party pretty much every night for the last month. I just had tons of bands play, and it was just nonstop.
I think I remember hearing of this from our mutual friends. Yeah.
Which was interesting because our mutual friends that you mentioned, they moved to the Twin Cities the day after my I was kicked out.
Yeah, which is interesting. So funny.
But so yeah, I left it just kind of trashed, and then I left it so trashed that the day after I'm supposed to be out, the building manager called me. He's like, "Hey, actually, if you need another day, you know, they're good with it." I'm like, "No, they can suck it and they can deal with it. Bye."
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Which is like,
did you say bye to the ghost when you left?
You know, I don't know if I probably did, because I definitely had a whole month to say goodbye, and I was very sentimental, and I tried to eat it all up.
Yeah.
The only thing I regret is that last month I really only maybe had a few minutes in the space alone.
Mm-hmm.
I was always, because there was always people there.
People, yeah.
And that was the only thing that I wish I could have just had like an hour to walk around and whatever. I mean, I talked to those walls so often. Every day I came to the studio, I'd head up the fire escape. I would kiss my fingers, kiss the floor with, you know, touch the and point up to the sky and say, "Thank you so much." Every day I would say, "Thank you so much. I'm so lucky." And once I stopped doing that, it got taken from me.
Wow. That is that's an amazing story and kind of beautiful and sad. It sounds like this, like the sound gallery was just like one of the loves of your life.
It was. And for 2 years after it closed, I had dreams about it every night. Literally every night. And then they kind of stopped. And now they've come back.
They've come back?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And they kind of bother me a little bit because they make me kind of sad and nostalgic.
Yeah,
you know?
Nostalgia is like a troubling, it's a dangerous feeling because it's like you don't want to deny your past and like allowing it to make you feel stuff now. But then if you live in it, it's a really tragic way to live. It's really hard. I've been having so many dreams. Multiple times a week now about Madison, Wisconsin, where I went to college. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if it's because I rented a place there for a month this summer before I knew that I was going to be on strike and not paid. But it's paid for now. But yeah, and I don't know if I'm just excited, but I'm like a little bit worried that I'm like, okay, I am a woman in my 30s. I need to not be obsessed with the place I went to college. I've lived in like London and New York and Miami and LA, and why do I keep just dreaming about Madison, Wisconsin? Not that it's worse than those places, but just like I've done a lot of stuff. What what am I doing? What is happening to me? So it's a little bit eerie.
Maybe you'll figure it out when you go back there this summer.
I am really excited for that. I definitely need to. I have the tendency to like overbook myself. Mm-hmm. And I need to leave some time for like meditation and like alone, like we have a place right on the lake.
Nice.
And just like little alone boat rides and like some yoga and like let's try to not just cover all these feelings up with beer and cheese, like let's try to like drill down, why are you obsessed with this place? Yeah, anyway, I get it.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure that out too. I mean, I kind of get why I'm having these dreams all the time. I thought they were in the past, but I feel like I'm supposed to do something to make them stop, or I have some kind of something is a not some unfinished business.
Do you think the unfinished business is in that space particularly, or do you think that maybe it's like some part of you or some part of the universe telling you that you need to be, you know, in charge of producing music again?
Yeah, it could be both those things. I mean, so I joke, and this is a dumb thing to say out loud, but I joke that I will get that building back someday, you know? I mean, I had always said when I was in my 20s, I was like, everybody watch. Like, when I'm 55, I'm going to be up on this roof just like I am now. Like, no one can stop me. But the truth is, I got tired of Minneapolis, and I just wanted to change. No offense to all the people there who I love. And I wanted to try acting, which in Minneapolis, Minnesota is a hard challenge to do. And yeah, I was kind of over certain aspects of the recording business, being a recording engineer for bands. you do so much music that you're not passionate about, you know, you're just doing whatever you can to pay the bills is most people's story. And it does lose its luster for sure. You know, it's a lot of technical work and just so many hours of editing and listening to the same. Everything starts sounding the same. My appreciation for music, I became less of a music fan, and I really missed that.
Yeah. That's so. Like the complaint of so many people that do their passion professionally. Did you get to work with any bands or artists that you were super excited about?
I mean, we had so many artists come through. We did an album that never came out with Ben Bridwell, who was singer of Band of Horses.
Amazing.
We had Lizzo there.
Really?
Yeah, Lizzo, I think it was the first time she ever rapped, was there. But she was in this girl group, and they were always hanging out there.
Oh, my God.
And I actually sing on a track with Lizzo.
What? What track is that?
It's it was
Good
produced...
as Hell. It's called Good as Hell?
It came out in, like, 2016.
Yeah.
There's these Chicago DJs called The Hood Internet, and they remixed a song of mine. And Lizzo raps on the song. I mean, I recorded her rapping on this
remix. That's awesome.
And then we sent it back, and I don't even know if that's still out. We had bands come in to do music videos like Toro y Moi, Destroyer, Battles. I mean, there must be people I'm forgetting, but yeah,
that's amazing.
It's because we had a nice space. We were close to one of the biggest nightclubs in the world, First Avenue, had a relationship with them, so
that's amazing. Would you, if you had the opportunity, if somebody was like, hey, we want to bring back the Sound Gallery in this building, you will have to like work to pay rent and everything, would you do it? Would you move back to Minneapolis and do it?
So I actually, when my studio closed, I had so much stuff that I did move it into another space, which was run by Nate Vernon, who is the brother of Bon Iver.
Okay.
And we did, I had stuff there for 2 years and we did things there, but then eventually I just liquidated it or whatever. I don't want to move back to Minneapolis or the Twin Cities. It's so cold. I did a lot of stuff there and I love my friends there. I just, yeah, I don't want to live there.
Yeah. Fair.
But that could change. I wish I had the, if somebody said you can have the Sound Gallery here and here's also a bunch of money and you can just fly back for like a month whenever you feel like it,
right.
You know, of course I would do it if I had complete freedom, but that's not reality. I'd have to put in a lot of work and stuff like that. I do have ties to a recording studio, excuse me, here in LA, which actually looks like my studio quite a bit as far as the vibe goes. It has like, it's like a split, it's like if somebody rearranged my studio in the dream. You know how when you go to a place in a dream and it's just like a two-story place now instead of a one-story?
Yeah.
So I have a place here where I've done some events and I have some equipment, so I kind of can get a taste of that. My friends in Minneapolis, like all the guys that worked for me, my studio managers and engineers, they opened their own place there. Which every time I go back, I can just go and hang out. And
that's
they're
awesome.
So nice to me. Yeah, yeah, everybody there. So, yeah, I still have connections to. I never won't. You know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was a very magical and spiritual experience having that place. And maybe the thing that you're longing for is just another magical and spiritual experience, whatever and wherever it is, you know.
Yeah, and thanks for saying that. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, really.
Yeah. No, this has been awesome. Do you want to do some plugs?
Follow me on TikTok. I started live streaming there. I'm at Mandarific. My YouTube channel, which has some really great comedy sketches, is called Internet Anytime. Yeah, those are good. That's good.
All right. Jacob, thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. If you want to throw me a follow, I am on Instagram at EmilyMCWinter. Again, that's EmilyMCWinter. Also, rating and reviewing the podcast helps people find it so we can keep growing, and that's good for the whole world.